SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early line is live. We are right here on the Sports Grid Network. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. A massive, massive day of action. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling so good today. Christmas morning is finally here. Major League Baseball season and the long grind steps back into our lives. Let's get after it. Also, oh yeah, it's a tournament called the Masters today, Kevin. Did you know that?
Just so happens to also be on the slate. In fact, that is where we begin today. The Masters does tee off so many different storylines to follow. John Rahm is the favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 12-1. Justin Thomas, Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, and Scottie Scheffler round out that top five. But also, all eyes, Donnie, on Tiger Woods as we head to Augusta.
Yes, all eyes are on Tiger Woods, and the question of the tournament is not so much if Tiger can win this tournament. It's basically, can he compete in the tournament, and will he make it to the weekend? So the question that everybody's probably asking themselves, will we see Tiger wearing red, which means he would have to make it, Kevin, to Sunday?
It's going to be an exciting tournament to follow. Obviously, there's some great boosts. We'll have some breakdowns from Dubs and a Masters, first ever Masters pick six here on the show. The next headline. This is just, it's nice when you can kind of just put all encompassing things. MLB opening day. Not a full slate of games. We've had some drop off due to weather, including the Yankees Red Sox game, which is supposed to kind of start this whole thing off. But still, Donnie, a fun slate for us to break down. And of course, we'll be piling through the futures board here as well.
Yes. And who would have thought that we would get to opening day with the New York Mets playing? Oh, look at this, man. DeGrom is going to start this season. Max Scherzer. Yeah, Matt Clinton. No. Tyler McGill is going to be on the mound for the Mets. Yeah. Is that a bad omen per se for the Mets in this 2022 season? We'll see.
It is funny that the Mets don't want to maybe throw off an order. Like they didn't want to go to Bassett or Taiwan Walker. They're like, no. Throw Miguel out there. Let's see if we can steal one with Miguel. There is so much intrigue around this Major League Baseball season. The Dodgers enter comfortable favorites, really some legitimate distance between them and the second choice. So it's a lot of fun stuff that we're going to be able to break down. The interesting thing always with Major League Baseball is some teams we know obviously want to win at a high level and some absolutely have no intentions. I have no idea what the Cleveland Guardians want to do. Their first season as the Guardians, they made a big move yesterday, Donnie, by locking up Jose Ramirez, who was a big-time trade rumor guy. A lot of people thought that he'd be moved in the offseason, and people said, okay, fine, then he will end up ultimately being moved by this upcoming trade deadline. Looks like Jose Ramirez is going to be a Guardian for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's a good move there by the Guardians, but at the same time, when you're coming into this season and you're trying to get your team, excited and the city excited, it's a new name. This is a bottom payroll in the league, and it's kind of funny here. It's almost, you see him get signed for that, 5 years, $124 million. It basically, one guy signs and they doubled their payroll just about. That's amazing. That just shows you the sign of the times in Cleveland that things aren't going all that well, and they had to at least give their fan base something saying, hey, guys, we're trying to win, even though you're not.
Jose Ramirez is a top five range MVP guy. Shane Bieber is the second choice to win the AL Cy Young. They have two legitimate stars on kind of both sides of it, but outside of that, there is a lot to be desired. They are with a win total of 75.5 coming into this season. Our radio audience is with us here. Appreciate all those tuning into Sports Grid Radio. This is the early line on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here. Some NBA headlines from yesterday, Donnie, including what really felt like one last run for the New York Knicks. I'm sure that for a lot of people, the Brooklyn Nets, led by a 30-point triple-double from Kevin Durant, leading a 21-point comeback, is what catches the eye. I can't help it. To me, the Knicks feel like the story, mainly because I feel like the Knicks have blown more 20-point leads than anybody in the history of this sport. What a unfortunate, fitting way for the Knicks to start to button up their season.
Yeah, it also had one of those feels like, now, hold on. Like, are the Nets really doing this right now? Are the Nets still going to like collide into the playoffs, just a complete car wreck right now, and say they're still going to be the favorites in the East? That couldn't happen. So at least they saved a little bit of face by winning that game. But I don't even know if there was a winner in the game, per se. Like, the Nets were supposed to go out there and beat the Knicks, and we're getting smoked at that point. And the Knicks were just floundering and not really going to go anywhere until the offseason. It was a terrible game all the way around. But at least, I guess, the Nets saved a little face there, Kevin.
The Knicks scored 31 points in the second half. Like, I just don't know how this team still has these struggles in the level that they do. The Boston Celtics had a big result versus the Chicago Bulls as they try to stay in the mix here for the top of the Eastern Conference. The Bulls continue to be completely unable to beat any of the better teams in the East. I think this next headline here, though, Donnie, it may be, you know, sneaky the most interesting in the NBA right now. The Toronto Blue Jays are a team a lot of people talk about, an advantage that they might have because of the vaccination status is there. Listen, you try and put two and two together. Matisse Thybul, ineligible to play for Toronto. The Raptors might be a team that nobody wants to see, and it'll have nothing to do with matchups.
Yeah, I got to get some rules on this here because Matisse Thybul did play, I think, at the end of December in Toronto. I know a new mandate went in, Kevin, but I don't know what that actually means, where this, if you got the first shot, you don't need any more, but now you need to be boosted or double boosted. Or I don't know what the rules are, but I'm sure we're going to find out really quickly because that's an interesting one that popped up. I haven't seen that yet in the NBA this season, so this is one to look forward to moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Also, the Pittsburgh Steelers continuing to interview quarterbacks. Recently, Cincinnati's Desmond Ridder stopped by for a visit. The Masters. Let's break that all down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on the Masters, set to take center stage. And although, depending who you ask, maybe it's like at the podium, essentially, right? Baseball, it's a lot. There's a lot going on. To help us get this set, Dubs does a great job breaking it down, helping us get set up. Let's start by throwing it to Dubs Anderson for a course preview.
Here it is, folks, the Masters, a tournament and tradition unlike any other. The best of the best competing for golf's biggest prize, a green jacket at Augusta National. I think what we saw last year is going to be hard to top. Hideki Matsuyama get a breakthrough win for the golf-thirsty nation of Japan. This week, it's been all about the big cat Tiger Woods. Is he going to play, yes or no? For me, I could not care less. This field is absolutely loaded in terms of talent and form. Look at all these young guys ready to win on the big stage. The Spanish Bull, John Rahm. Your new world number one, Scottie Scheffler. What about Colin Morikawa? 2 from 8 starts at the majors. This field is abounding with talent. It's a smaller field this week. 91 starters. Top 50 plus ties move on to the weekend. You've got 14 first-timers here. And history suggests the first-timers may struggle. Fuzzy Zeller, the last guy to win his first start back in 1979. And what about this golf course? Augusta National Golf Club, par 72, over 7,500 yards, designed by the greats Alistair McKenzie and Bobby Jones. This is a course that stands the test of time, a course that you cannot overpower. You need to think your way around it. If you sleep for 1 second, for one swing, that could be your dreams splashing down into Rae's Creek. So the key stats I'm looking at this week, good iron play, strokes gain on approach. Look at past winners here. Sergio Garcia, Hideki Matsuyama's Adam Scott. You've got to be great with your mid-irons this week. And then factor in good short game, strokes gain around the greens. You've got raised greens here at Augusta. You've got some different lies. You need a bit of imagination. And look at past winners. Paddy Reed got it done that way. Danny Willer got it done that way. And Jordan Spieth, that is how he gets it done all the time. And always factor in putting on very firm and fast greens. I think this week they're going to be running quicker than some of these patrons for their little pimento cheese sandwiches. But most importantly this week, look at course history. This is a track you need to figure out how to play before you can win on it. And guys who have been getting close, knocking on the door, Rahms, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas is there. The guys I've got my eye on. I think the winner comes from the top 15 in the rankings this week. The cream will rise to the top. You can't afford to have a weakness. The winning mark should be right around 12 under par. But of course, the drama never starts until late on Sunday afternoon. Amen corner, 11 through 13. Say your prayers, suck it up. Winning in green jacket ain't meant to be easy. All areas will be tested. You need to be stoic. A bit of moxie, a bit of mental fortitude. Clutch up and make the putts when you have to. If the Masters doesn't get you jacked up, step aside and let the grown-ups take over business. It's the Masters. Keep it locked on the Sports Grid. You know I'm coming in hot for this one.
I mean, how good is that? Ooh. I mean, how good is that? That is fired up. Dang. That's a nice promo there, Donnie. Babyface fire. He's shaking the ropes. He's got the crowd feeling good about it there. Yep. And he kind of snuck in, Donnie, a little shot at Tiger Woods, if I'm honest.
No, he did. So, I mean, using these terms, right, maybe Tiger Woods is going to take a little powder here, walk around outside the ring, get back into that ring and rile up the crowd and get after it this weekend. Sir. But the one thing I did take out of that, K-Dub, having a little pimento cheese sandwich. Now, being food connoisseurs like we are, a little Google search and get a picture of it. I don't know. The jury's a little bit out on this one here for me, a nice little pimento cheese sandwich. Any ideas? Did you ever have a pimento cheese sandwich? Yeah. But if you did go to the Masters, I guess I would try it, though, right?
I do think at some point, maybe tomorrow, since it's a nice, you know, kickback Friday, maybe we should take a little bit of a Donnie and Kevin's Masters menu. Maybe we'll do that on the radio side or something. Because, yeah. I mean, you really want to treat people at the Masters. You let the Walsh House figure out what a Masters menu is looking like. I tell you this, they'll be fed. Round one scores might be a little low, but they will be fed. I'll tell you that right now. Obviously, Augusta is... more than any golf course, it is so important. They always like. There's no tournament where you hear about course history more than the Masters. And there is one golfer who we have not been able to talk about a ton, in Rory McIlroy, who does not have the greatest history with this course. He has been waiting forever, Donnie, to round out all of these majors by getting the green jacket, and it's not happened just yet. I want to pull it back to Dubs to get his thoughts on Rory McIlroy going into Augusta this week.
It's the Masters this week, so let's talk about my big fade play of the week, and it's one of your favorites, Rory McIlroy, listed at 18-1 with the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, Rory's a 20-time winner on the PGA Tour, multiple majors to his name, but he hasn't won one since 2014. Now you put him on Augusta National, chasing the career Grand Slam. I don't like his chances this week, and I don't like what I'm seeing from him at the big events. Sure, he sprinkled in a couple of good results, a win at the CJ Cup earlier this season, but I turn it back to the Arnold Palmer Invitational, a stronger field, a good event. He was right there at the halfway mark, then he blows up with back-to-back 76s. This is a guy who just makes double bogeys from nowhere. If you put Jordan Spieth in Roy McIlroy's body and gave him that kind of talent, you would have the number one golfer in the world, and that is a fact. He still drives the ball well, fourth in strokes gained off the tee, but he's 71st in strokes gained around the greens. He's 66th in strokes gained putting. This guy's an overthinker, but I think he lacks a bit of confidence, especially here at the big events. His round one scoring at the majors is horrible, but keep an eye on him in the live betting. Again, a missed cut at the Valero Texas Open last weekend. That is not going to help his chances on a golf course that should suit Roy McIlroy. I'm going to fade him at 18-1. I think he makes the cut, but he ain't going to be there Sunday afternoon.
Not what you're looking for if you're Rory McIlroy. Mm. It does seem to be a guy, Donnie, that people are willing to fade heading into this week's game.
Yeah, willing to fade and also willing to bet as well, Kevin, because we're still sitting here in the, 20-1 range, which we had those big lump golfers yesterday. Talked about, I believe there was 9 of them yesterday, starting at 13-1, which we see now at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. John Rahm sitting at 12-1, but Rory McIlroy, same as Brooks Koepka, 19-1. Same as Jordan Spieth, 19-1. Same as, Hovland as well, 19-1. So when you take a look at betting these guys at the top, sometimes, Kevin, because we have the elite handicappers, right, that really do their, homework, get after it, see if they can have some edges here. But a lot of the times you're popping in here, which you don't know very many golfers, and you just watch majors. Hey, look at that. Rory's 19-1. Sure, he can win this. You're going to get a lot of type of wagers like that, similar to what we're going to talk about here with Tiger Woods as well.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Let's talk a little Tiger right now, because there's a boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook that I think kind of helps start to put things in line for what today is going to bring. It is a PMI Super Boost Tiger Woods to shoot no bogeys or worse for his first three holes of round one of the Masters. This is boosted from minus 150 to plus 100. It is looking for Tiger to not necessarily come out of the gates hot, Donnie, but come out of the gates consistent.
And usually we pump the – and again, this is if you like Tiger Woods, you're going to bet this, you're going to cheer it on. But I have some questions here, Kevin. A minus 150 boosted to a plus 100. The plus 100 seems like a nice price, but how do you get to the minus 150? This is Tiger Woods that hasn't played really competitive golf in a year, coming off a disastrous injury where – you're ramping up to the Masters, but you're not out there honing your skills and going against, you know, like competition and really getting that razor's edge in your mind saying, hey, I'm in winning mode right now. He's really in survival mode. And at the same time, it's not saying at the end of three holes, Kevin, be even par, which means you can go birdie, bogey, par. Hey, that works out well. We're talking about no bogeys or worse, which means he has to go par, 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 birdie, birdie, par. And he can't even go birdie, birdie, bogey, which he would take at a minus one through three holes, but you don't win that bet. It's a little bit too much to leave out there because I don't know about nerve setting in Kevin for Tiger Woods. He's been on the biggest stages, but I'm just talking about sharpness here. One error shot, one little misread on the green, and you bogey, which many golfers do.
Yeah, so last year, and I mean, like, here's the thing, it's tough, right? Because I want to give you Tiger's history at Augusta. And we're going to do our pick six, and I'm going to lean on that a little bit when we get there. But this is a different set of circumstances, right? Like last year, I will tell you this, he had a birdie and he was par. I mean, but also, last year, Tiger was excellent in the opening round. He was four under through one last year in the opening round at the Masters. And yesterday with our conversation with Cam Stewart, who came on with us and helped us break this all down, it feels like if you're going to trust Tiger, it's early, right? Where Tiger would lose this tournament, right? It's not my read. It's not as much Thursday, Friday. And if it's like the very end of Sunday, well, then, I mean, he might just be able to lock in, right? But it's more like a Saturday worry, if anything, for Tiger at plus 100. And also, as Don said, if you like Tiger, you're going to be 24/7. In the mix. The Masters pick six is next. Keep it right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Masters pick six is on. Outright winners. Big time plus money. We'll get there. But I want to turn to Dubs for just one more player breakdown, and that is someone who is way up the top of this leaderboard. Rahm is one. Justin Thomas is two. Could this be JT's week? Let's see what Dubs thinks going into the Masters on Justin Thomas.
It's time for the Masters this week. So what's it going to take to master Augusta National? Well, look, it's a longer course. Good iron play is always a rewarded hit, but you need a bit of short game, a bit of grind, a bit of X factor. Where's that lead me to in the outright market? I'm going straight to the top of the board this week. Justin Thomas listed at 14-1. He's got bones on the bag, and he's got the pedigree in a week where you need it. The cream will rise to the top in this one. He's a 14-time winner on the PGA Tour, a major winner, and I love his golf game on this track. He's played here six times before, never missed the cut. That's what we know about the Masters. You got to figure out this course before you can win on it. I think the time is now on a track that lines up really well to his strengths. Look at the stats here for JT. 14th in strokes gained off the tee. We like that this week. He needs to score on the par fives. He's 5th in strokes gained on approach. History tells us this week it's all about iron play. And he's 35th in strokes gained around the greens. You have to get up and down this week. You will be tested, especially over the weekend. JT's got that for me. The putting's been a little spotty the last 12 months, but this week, very firm and fast greens. I think that helps the cause. And of course, he's going to charge off this Tiger Woods energy. We know they're good mates, Tiger's on the grounds, but for me, in a field that's absolutely stacked with some young talent, Justin Thomas, he can take it up a gear and remind the golf world that he's an absolute force to be reckoned with. We're getting him at 14-1. You don't know when these players are going to peak until they peak, and for me, it's this weekend, Justin Thomas to win the Masters at 14-1. Don't say I didn't tell you so.
Running around his house going absolutely nuts, Donnie. Just going nuts, throwing golf clubs like in the house, just feeling tangy.
Yeah, if there's a weather delay, I mean, he's losing his mind, right? 6-7 cups of coffee in. They're not starting on time here. Checking the watch left and right. Yeah, it's the way it is, man. Uh-huh. It's a pretty good, exciting time for the Masters, especially for people that really get into it. So it's going to be a good one.
He's a West Coast guy, too, though, Don. Like, he's got that 4 a.m. alarm set. Like, it's worth it, man. And he just sat there at 5:30 like, you got to be kidding me, man. Like, if someone doesn't hit a golf ball pretty soon, I'm about to switch sports. Dubs about to start capping the NBA board tonight if something doesn't switch up here pretty quickly. Look, we'll run through this. We have the opportunity to really expand on all of these, Donnie. So maybe we could even – I know usually we just, you know, pass it to one and throw back. Maybe we start at the outright market for each of us here in the pick six, because everyone knows with golf, you don't need just one guy in the outright market. You can bet like 10, really, with the way the numbers line up there. We have two outright winners, a finishing position bet, a make or miss cut bet, a matchup bet, and then something from the tourney specials. You knew we had to get involved there. Start with the outright market. Who are the two golfers that caught your eye going into the Masters?
Yeah, and the good part about this too, Kevin, is we talk about the outright market. We're like, oh, you're going to take favorites here. This isn't like taking a favorite in Major League Baseball or, you know, money line in the NFL with a team favored by seven points where it's like, hey, minus 450 to win the tournament, and they should. You're taking a look at some of the most world-class champion golfers you can have and getting prices anywhere between 15 to 1 to 25 to 1 or even higher. There are some majors champions in this field that are 50 to 1 or better, and certainly you can succeed and get some money here. But I'm going to take a look at two guys here that I do think are going to be in it, because you do want to take a little bit of a long shot. I get it. But when you're talking about who do you actually think can win the tournament, I don't know if I want to lay it on like a Tiger Woods at 50 to 1 or somebody even less than that. So I'm going to take two of the top golfers in the world here. I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson at 15 to 1 and also Jordan Spieth at 19 to 1. The reason I picked these two guys out, when you're at the top of your game, A-plus game, they're tough to beat. And a lot of people, Kevin, are going to come in this Masters tournament bringing their A game. But I want guys who have been around Augusta. I want guys who have won at Augusta, and these two certainly have. If you take a look, and sometimes you hear me use these terms, Kevin, in betting, just give me a chance to get in it. Like last night in the NBA, if I have a points prop of Jaylen Brown, 25 points, hey, look, nine straight games, we scored 25 points or more. He scored 25 last night. I didn't win the bet, but you know what? I had a really good look at that. So when you take a look at guys like Jordan Spieth sitting at a 19 to 1 price here, eight Masters tournaments he's played in, five top five finishes, made the cut every single time, and has a green jacket. There's a really good chance where if you need to win this tournament, like we know these golfers do, and you want to win your bet, you at least got to be on the leaderboard, Kevin, on Sunday. And I think both of these guys can do that. Good prices, 15 to 1 and 19 to 1. I'm going DJ and Jordan Spieth here.
I absolutely love it. And specifically Spieth. Spieth is the kind of guy that I don't want to compare him to Tiger. That's outrageous. But he's a guy, Don, where you can throw form out, right? Like, regardless, going into a weekend. But he's actually playing all right. He's been playing all right recently there. I'll be featuring Jordan Spieth as well throughout my pick six, but not in the outright market. The two guys that I'm looking at, people know since we've been doing golf, you know, really on the early line, when I know at least when I joined this and things ramped up in the golf world, certainly with the pandemic and things of that nature, I'm a big Brooks Koepka guy. But this is just because I like Brooks Koepka. Brooks is in a good spot coming into this tournament at a 19 to 1 marker. Brooks dominates majors. That's the truth of it. He shows up at a major, it feels like you can just pencil him in for top 10. That's the way Brooks approaches the game there, and it helps that he's playing well. And last year, and people might say, he missed the cut last year. He was not healthy. It was one of the stories of the Masters last year was how unhealthy Brooks Koepka was, and that ultimately cost him any chance at contending in that tournament. He's healthy, he's playing well, and at 19 to 1, one of the best major players in golf is a great piece of business. The second guy I'm interested in is Colin Morikawa. Morikawa already has two majors down at the U.S. Open. He has a T4 in his pocket. He's only played the Masters twice, and he's not been able to crack into the top 10, but he's continuing to get better. Last year, I believe, finished with a T18 for Colin Morikawa. He's just too good of a player to not eventually start to really push this board and push this crop for a run for their money. And everyone, you hear all the Dubs breakdowns, good iron play, good iron play, good iron play. That's Colin Morikawa. That's what he does. I'm going to take my chance that on his third go around, he starts to see this course clearly. And I think someone of his talent level at 22 to 1, especially if you're not, you know, going wild and having, you know, 15 guys in your pocket, I think that's too good to pass up on. I really do like Donnie, Colin Morikawa and Brooks Koepka heading into this week.
It's pretty good. And the reason I like the picks that you have, specifically with Morikawa, what's the common theme here that we're hearing from the people that really know their way around the Masters? You can't overpower the golf course. This isn't one of those places where you say, I'm going to line up and bomb at 315. Wherever it goes, it doesn't matter as long as I have distance. So the guys that are able to place their shots, hit fairways, and play to their strengths are going to have a pretty good shot at this tournament. So even like Colin Morikawa, where these guys hit the ball much, much further than your average player. I understand it. But if you're looking for a guy that can hit those shots and still have that delicate touch around there, Colin Morikawa is one of those guys.
No doubt about it. Four other lines for us to go through. We can mash these all together here, Donnie. Finishing position, make or miss cut, matchup bet, tourney special, button it up here. What else are you looking at in your pick six?
Yeah, I want to take a big shot here. Victor Hovland, one of the top young golfers in America here and certainly across the world, 410, plus 410 to get into the top five. The reason I didn't bet him to win the tournament is you sort of want to get that taste, right, Ken? You sort of want to learn how to make your moves around Augusta. You want to learn how to win at Augusta. I don't know if he can get there, but a 410 price to get in the top five, I think it's worthy of that. Make miss cut, one of my favorite things. Most people are going to look to Tiger Woods, and rightfully so. Bernard Langer to make the cut at a plus 150. This guy made the cut in the Masters in his 60s already. Just give me a slow, steady pace at there, but I'll make some putts, get through to the weekend at a plus 150 price, match up at here. This is a great one. I'm going to take a dog price here. Dustin Johnson over Justin Thomas, two superstars here. And if I think Dustin Johnson, which I have at 15-1 to win the tournament, has a legitimate chance, he's going to have to probably beat Justin Thomas here to do that, obviously. So plus 128, 20 special. Rahm, Thomas, Morikawa, all to finish in the top 10. A sweet 14-1 price on world-class golfers. Sign me up here. Pick six, ready to go for the Masters.
Donnie pulling no punches on that tourney special, 14-1. Yeah, absolutely love to see that. Mine is, it's funny, I feel like mine is still a nice price, pales in comparison, though, to what Donnie's bringing to the table, which you absolutely love to see. For a finishing position, Tony Finau, top 20, is plus 170. Finau has been here four times. He's finished top 10 three times. Everyone knows the deal with Tony Finau. Can't finish. Don't care. Not asking him to finish. Asking him to be in the mix. Tony Finau is the kind of guy to rock up and be in the final group on Sunday, and you're basically like, all right, he can't win it. Like, that's how, and that's unfortunate for Tony Finau. I'd love to see Tony Finau be able to put this thing together, but a top 20 is all you're asking for here, and at plus 170, that is solid. But I think it's like minus 120 for a top 30 if you're willing to lay a little more juice. I know typically in the golf world, people don't love to lay juice as often, you know, because of all the plus money that's out there, but a T20 for Tony Finau looks fantastic. I had to do it. One of Donnie and I were going to have Tiger Woods in the pick six. The thing is, I thought I was going to miss the cut. And then I took a little bit more time and thought about this. I couldn't do it. Tiger Woods has been there 23 times. He missed the cut his second ever trip to Augusta and has not missed it since. It's about knowing your body. LeBron knows if he can go out there and give you 38 minutes and 38 points. He's not giving you the 10 to 15 minutes that Donnie wants you to give him. That's not going to happen. Tiger's not here for four holes of golf, and my bad, I should have never showed up here. Tiger's going to make this cut. What happens on Saturday, what happens on Sunday, your guess is as good as mine. But he makes this cut. It's Tiger Woods. It's minus 108. I can't pass that up. Jordan Spieth over Victor Hovland. It's funny. But for Donnie to have Victor Hovland for a T5, but I think still be okay with a nice little plus 112 on Jordan Spieth over Victor Hovland makes some sense there. He likes Spieth to win this thing. Spieth loves this course. He absolutely does. And Hovland does have a hole in his game around the green. And I think Spieth ultimately does have himself a big week. Lastly, tourney special. Stewart Cink, Cam Young to make the cut. Cam Smith and Justin Thompson to finish top 40 is plus 320. The top 40s are locks. Let's be honest here. Can Cink and Young make the cut? I say so. And we cash a nice little plus 320 ticket. That's the Masters. Up next, NBA headlines.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action continuing to heat up here as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season for some teams like the Los Angeles Lakers. That has already happened. For the Brooklyn Nets, not yet, though, man, would we be having a different conversation if it was any other team than the New York Knicks on the other side of the floor, it feels like. The Brooklyn Nets down by 21 points in this basketball game as the Knicks looked like they were going to run this team out of the gym, and then, well, they didn't even cover the Knicks. In fact, they lost by double digits. They scored 38 in the second quarter. They scored 31 in the second half. KD, 32 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds, was excellent in this game, and specifically in the second half, and really in that fourth quarter. Donnie, your takeaway from Brooklyn's 110-98 victory?
My takeaway is the Knicks. My takeaway is the Knicks were at home. My takeaway is the Knicks played well in the first half, and then I don't know what happened. Oh, 31 points. Oh, that's not a bad third quarter, Kevin. No, 31 points combined in the second half for the Knicks at home against the Brooklyn Nets. Now, what did we expect from the game to start? Probably didn't expect the Nets to get down by so much, but how about this? If you were looking at that game in the first half alone and saying, boy, easy money in my pocket taking the Knicks here. 110-98 finish. You end up with no money here, and you also end up with, what the heck just happened to the Knicks in the second half? But that's been the Knicks the entire season for us, right? Getting a lead, and all of a sudden Tibbs on the sideline saying, hey, you know what? These rotations, who cares? Let's just make something up on the fly here. Well, that didn't work out last night as they got smoked by the Nets. But as we talked about at the top of the show, wasn't so much about what the Knicks were doing in this game. They're a bad basketball team. It's, are we still hanging on the edge of our seat going, ooh, if Brooklyn just plays one game well, we're going to get all fired up because they're going to win the NBA championship. Even though they won that game, I'm still looking at that as like, what are the Nets doing and why are they still being priced so high at this point?
They're playing bad basketball. Like, this now goes beyond me saying they can't, they're not going to win the title as the eighth seed. Like, they're not playing good ball right now. Here is the really interesting thing for Brooklyn right now. They are a game back of Cleveland, who has really started to fall out. And the Nets play the Cavs coming up on Friday. So, with all of this that's gone wrong for Brooklyn, Donnie, if they win out, which realistically, if they beat the Nets, I believe the last two games are the Pistons and the Pacers. Let me double check. Oh, no, it's just actually the Pacers after the Cavs game. I mean, Don, if they win out, a.k.a. if they beat the Cavs, this team's going to seven.
Yeah.
So, which means then it would be almost impossible for them to lose two straight home games and not make the postseason. But it still goes beyond all of that. Like, the quality of basketball, as you've said, is not that good. I can't help, though, just because we're projecting out, and obviously some of this stuff is going to get lost in the wind as baseball and things are picking up, Donnie. What an unfortunate set of circumstances for this Cleveland team. I mean, this Cleveland team, like, Donnie, depending on how tiebreakers, they might fall into the 9-10 game. Forget the 7-8 game here. This team genuinely looked like they might win their division, a division that has both the Bucks and the Bulls in it. And here they are now trying to hold off the Hawks and the Hornets for the 9-10 game. I mean, listen, the Cavs beat the Nets and this thing totally flips around. That feels unlikely, Donnie, and it feels like the Cavs are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, in that division, right? Some odd teams here. The Chicago Bulls. Hey, look, they might be the best team in the NBA, too. Man, everybody's lining up to play them once they get into the playoffs. And the same thing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, too. Maybe we didn't expect all that much from them, but they put up some pretty good efforts here over the first half of the season. Saying maybe they can wake up and, you know, do some damage in the playoffs. Not talking about win the East, but win a playoff round and sort of move forward in the progress of their franchise here. But also, just getting back also to the Nets here. When you look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Kevin, plus 650 here, outright betting championship, which means there's only two teams ahead of them, the Milwaukee Bucks at 550 and the Phoenix Suns at a plus 280 price. And this is a team that's going to be heading into the playoffs, not playing great basketball. Would it be different for you, Kevin? And again, take Ben Simmons out of the equation. Let's just say he's never going to play. But once Kyrie got, all right, you can play at home and you can play on the road. Once you knew KD was coming back and he was healthy from his previous injuries. And if the Nets were like, hey, they've won 11 of 12 down the stretch, here they come. He said, this is what we anticipated. This is why these two superstars are going to be on the court. And this is why we have them priced so high. I'm not getting any of that. Like, are we just waiting it out? Like, you know, we talked about the Dodgers last year with me going, I don't care. Hey, the Dodgers actually cannot physically win on paper the NL West. And I would say, honestly, they're still going to win it. No, it's actually over. They can't win it. Like, it's already wrapped up. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, I just think the Dodgers can win. That's the type of feeling that I'm getting from the Brooklyn Nets, where we're in such a wait and see mode here, but they're not showing us anything, Kevin. Give me three games back to back to back where they win by 20 points. Oh, that was the Nets that we were supposed to get. I'm not getting any of that, and they still get priced high every night. What happens last night, Kevin, if the Nets were to lose that game, where they lost 110-98 like the trajectory was? What are we looking at? Don't worry. They'll get it together in the play-in. Doesn't make any sense.
Here's the other thing with the Nets. Let's say they win out, right, Donnie, and they hold the seven spot.
Yeah.
It's very, very likely that their round one matchup is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I have continued to talk about when the bracket is set, we will have a better idea. If the Bucks and the Nets play in round one, that means that, Donnie, forget the East. One of the top three choices to win the entire thing will be gone after the opening round. Will be completely gone. Which opens up, Donnie, value. Every single other team on the board. You can argue what a boost for Phoenix that those two have to figure out which one of them can make it. You can argue for every team underneath them because they don't have to go through the gauntlet that would be one another. And let's make this perfectly clear. Brooklyn is a dog in that series, and they might be a decent dog in that series, to be honest with you, Donnie. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks went to Brooklyn the other day as a 2-point, right? I believe it was a 2-point underdog, won that game in overtime. If they play tomorrow, both same level of rest, I think the game maybe lands pick. Regardless, the games in Milwaukee are Bucks -4. Like, the Bucks are -175. Closer to -200 on a series price, Donnie, if they play Brooklyn, is my expectation. The Nets are not in a good spot. That's just the truth of the matter.
No, and it's also, you know, we're not playing these games in vacuums. It's like, hey, okay, you could play a better team here. You move up, and you are truly a number one seed. They're not playing like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the same way we talked about the Los Angeles Lakers, if, right? If LeBron James is healthy, if they make the playoffs, if Anthony Davis returns back, you could do some damage as the 1-2. You're waiting. They're like 18, 17 games under 500. How much longer do you have to wait before we realize it's not working out? So when we're betting the Nets, or if anybody is betting the Nets out here, particularly with the FanDuel Sportsbook, that +650 price, being so high and being up high on that leaderboard, there's a good chance that, and again, I think you're right here by saying no matter where they land in the play, and they're probably going to make their way out of it, but they're going to face a big-time basketball team right out of just playing in a playoff atmosphere with a rested and ready team that's going to take them on and, quite frankly, are better than them. Now, can you rise to the occasion? Hey, did you see KD last night drop 41? Did you see Kyrie Irving drop 38 in the playoffs? That's going to happen. They're not going to get shut out. They're not going to run out of gym in a 7-game series, but they're certainly not going to be the favorites. They're not at home. They don't have any ace up their sleeve. It's not as if Ben Simmons is coming back and, oh, yeah, he's going to go 10 of 13 from 3-point range in the series. That's not happening here. If you even get Ben Simmons back, what are you getting out of him? 10 minutes? Is that a good 10 to 15 minutes a night out of Ben Simmons in the playoffs? That's what I can give you, coach? It doesn't make any sense here for the Nets. I'm almost looking forward to the playoffs at this point just to see where the Nets end up, and we can say, I told you so, or the sportsbook odds makers are gone. We told you they were good. This is why they're in the Eastern Conference Finals now. I just can't see it.
I can't help but laugh, but I think Donnie truly found, like, the one player who would be like, yeah, I'll give you a good 15-20.
Yep.
And by the way, like, my 15-20 are, like, you know, second quarter, like, third quarter. You know, hey, if I run out of minutes by the time the fourth rocks around, I mean, it is what it is. It is. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, that's just
like
sometimes.
Pelicans.
Exactly. So Zion's stepdad, like, said that he was going to play. Like, I didn't, I was going to put that in. I'm like, I don't even know if that's headline news. Like, I don't even know if that makes the cut. Look, I got to bring up something else quickly here. One of the stories of the season, I would probably say, Donnie, right, has been the Memphis Grizzlies, but more specifically Ja Morant. I understand Ja's injured. Trust me, this is not like, oh, man, don't you guys remember Memphis is good? Hey, Memphis didn't even play last night. lot of people felt that Ja Morant had jumped Trae Young. Simply put, that's not even true at all. Like, even if, because I could have, by the way, said that that doesn't happen until Ja does it in the postseason. Like, just so everybody knows, Trae Young has gone further in the playoffs than Luka Doncic. Now, I'm not going to tell you Trae's better than Luka, but just to put into perspective that trade, that draft day, that draft class there, Atlanta's very happy with their guy. But to simply put it now, like, when we start getting first-team All-NBA, and I fully intend to give you what my first-team All-NBA would look like, whether that's on BATR here on this show, whatever it might be. Who knows? Maybe it'll just be a tweet. Trae Young on any All-NBA team is in front of Ja Morant. I don't care what the record is. This isn't debatable anymore. He's going to play 20 more games than Ja Morant, and he's been better than Ja Morant. And the Atlanta Hawks right now, Donnie, are a team just like last year. People are not going to be interested in playing. That, again, is all due to what Ja Morant is able to bring to this team. This team was 31-34. They're now 42-38. They are as hot as it gets, and it's because of Trae Young. And this is part of the thing with the Brooklyn Nets, and this is why it kind of all pieces together. Brooklyn won game, KD will carry him. Brooklyn went to Atlanta, dropped 55, and lost as Trae Young helped that team with 30-9 and led them to victory in that basketball game. I'm telling you, Donnie, ask Sixers fans, ask Bucks fans, ask if anybody really wants to play Trae Young in the playoffs. The answer is no. I understand they're going to probably be, you know, an eighth seed, whatever it might be. But that is a dangerous basketball team relative to the way people talk about them.
Yeah, they knocked off a number one seed last year. And also, you know, heading into the Eastern Conference Finals, if Trae Young doesn't get banged up and injured, that would have been interesting to see how that series actually finished. But the reason why we always bring up Trae Young is when you get into a big game, is anybody surprised when Trae Young goes nuts? Hey, Trae, we need a big game, Eddie. Cool, I got you. 35-11, 30-11, 25, 10-6, something like that. There's no surprise in that. And that's what you need out of a superstar player. When times are down on the basketball court, when you need big plays, when you're down 10 points, or when you need to actually close a series or a game out, does it surprise you when Trae Young pulls up from the logo and knocks it down? Trae Young gets to the free throw line. You can't stay in front of Trae Young when he wants to get to the rim. That's the great part about it here. And also, the evolution of basketball, the evolution of his game. Remember last year saying, like, man, Trae Young's cheating. Like, he's just jumping in the guys and jumping back and getting all these foul calls. Correct me if I'm wrong. He can't do that this year. And last night, 30-11 on the court. Looks like it took him like a week to get adjusted to the new rules. And now he's back to being old, dominant Trae Young.
Jay, people were like, man, Trae Young and Harden will never figure it out. Trae Young's fifth in the NBA in scoring. He's better than ever.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, closing out hour number one. Hour number two set to deliver tons and tons of news around Major League Baseball, pick six, World Series predictions, and an opening day card that we will break down. Quickly, Donnie, just one other thing from the NBA I wanted to expand on here. And I know we got into it a little bit, and it's tough because we don't have so much information, but the Matisse Thybulle, ineligible to play in Toronto. You never want to assume, but it's impossible to think it's anything other than the vaccine mandate. He's healthy. We know that. Is this something that, like, we're randomly breaking down a Raptors opening series and an opposing team is missing, you know, a key rotation piece? I'm not going to say they're their best player, but, like, because I think we would know if a team's best player, you know, kind of fell into this spot here, but what an odd situation all of a sudden, Don, that I don't think we were really thinking about here as it pertained to the Toronto Raptors in the postseason.
No, and it's the ripple effect we're talking about, right? It's Matisse Thybulle, so you're going to get a little bit of pub around it because he's a Sixer starter, a decent young player in the NBA, but I'm waiting for the big stars to get this because if you're a Sixers and you're a Sixers fan like I am, you go, hey, the only guy that you might have a problem is with Matisse Thybulle. You say, okay, don't like losing him, but at the same time, it's not Joel Embiid, it's not James Harden, Tobias Harris, or somebody else that's going to give you, or Tyrese Maxey, somebody who's going to give you a bigger impact here. But I'm looking for the other teams here. Like, I need to see this first-round matchup, which the only reason why we're talking about about here is the Sixers playing Toronto, and they might match up right away in the playoffs. But what happens if you get Boston? Hey, Boston's going to play the Toronto Raptors, and Brown and Tatum are out for this series. This is going to be catastrophic for the NBA. We're seeing the ripple effects here, but they're going to get louder and louder once we start to find out who's in and who's out, if you can play in Toronto or not.
Yeah, and the thing is, if it were like a league-wide problem where a team was going to miss three of the five guys in the starting lineup, Adam Silver's putting them back in Tampa. That's just – but that doesn't seem to be the case, Donnie. Like, the vaccination rate in the NBA or the boost rate, like, seems to be tremendously high. Maybe Matisse Thybulle kind of has it sorted then. And, yeah, again, you hate to put it on him, but that's where it is. MLB opening day. Talking the futures market.